One of the things we have been doing this past year is that on one Sunday out of each month, a member of our executive board has been invited to come and share some of their thoughts on the theme of why I value this church. And so today we will be hearing from our treasurer and longtime member. John, you've been here for quite a while by the time I got here.
And, well, I was here long before you came.
Long before you came. Yes. John LaSalle, thank you, John.
I decided before I got up here I was going to change glasses and I completely threw out both.
Okay.
Now you're all blurred and I can read what it's looking from me. I'll bet some of you are thinking, oh boy, he is a treasurer. We're going to hear a lot of whining and begging to increase our pledges. Well, as Steve just said, we started this series of talks so that some of the members of the church could learn a little bit about the members of the executive board. And my talk today is not about money. Although those of you who know me will understand when I say how easily I get choked up with emotion and may wish before we get done that I had talked with you about church finances. As you look around the congregation today, you might see someone who has in some fashion supported you when something was going on in your life that was difficult for you to handle alone. Maybe that person doesn't even realize what he's done. Let me turn that around. Perhaps you have said something or done something that seemed very ordinary to you, but had a positive effect on someone else. How we touch one another and support, and the support that comes from this church, relates to some of the reasons I value the church. Listen to my story of how you have touched the LaSalle family if you want to. But I won't mind at all if you get lost in thoughts of how you would receive help from this church and its members or an individual. Initially, I actually worked at avoiding giving this talk because I just frankly didn't know what to say. I have several generations of Unitarians on both sides of my family, so I've made no philosophical journey to get to this church. I guess I'm one of those complacent people who just accepts that I am in the right place. However, once I started preparing for this talk, I discovered that I could easily develop a whole service, complete with readings and hymns. So let me talk about just a few of the reasons I value the church. Carol and I got off to an excellent start in 1976, 28 years ago. Today, Barbara Berrios and the membership committee do a good job of welcoming people and providing information about the church. 28 years ago, there was, in my mind, an extraordinary one-man welcoming committee in the person of Gene Strasberg. We don't see Gene very often now, although his picture, along with his wife Madeline, is in our current directory. Gene took the time to greet us, learn a little bit about us, and in the space of 2 or 3 weeks, introduced us to about 4 couples who he thought we might warm up to. He had made some excellent choices, and our circle of friends expanded through these initial introductions. Soon we were looking forward to coming to church to be with these people. I told Carol what I was thinking of mentioning Gene, and before I even told her why, she said, oh, he's one of the main reasons we kept coming to this church. Now, we often joke about welcoming new prospective members with the question, what committee do you want to serve on? Well, would you believe that one of the original people we met was a choir member? Actually, I had been in a couple church choirs, so it wasn't surprising that by the time we signed the membership book in late spring, I'd already been in the choir for about 3 months. I enjoyed singing with Jan Whitaker, and when Jan Whitaker was the organist and choir director, and I was very disappointed when she left. I worked on the committee to find a new choir director, and I was really pleased when Sandy agreed to accept the position. And I considered it a privilege to sing under the direction of someone with her talent and skills. Thank you, Sandy. When I agreed to do this talk, Jackie reminded me of something I said in a meeting about a year or so ago. She said something along the lines of, you have an excellent reason for valuing this church community. Let me give you a little bit of background. Our middle son was more than a handful growing up. We could almost anticipate the date in mid-October when someone from his school would call to ask for us to come in to discuss a various problem that Bill was having. By the time he reached the seventh grade, a lot of his problems seemed to compound. In hindsight, this is about the time that the kids start defining their masculine and feminine roles, and they can be merciless with a peer who is out of step with what they think that role should be. Life began to get worse, as did our lives as parents. By then, I had established a few close friends here at the church, and they heard about all our frustrations in raising Bill. But something else was happening here that I'm not sure we realized. I'm going to single out Don Riley, but in a different time frame, it could also have been Russ and Karen Leonard, Bill and Nancy Dowie, Billy Parker, Kathy McDonald, Ginger Hedges, Linda Guidi, or any of the other adults who have given their time and energy to help our young people pass from adolescence to young adulthood. Many of you know Don and Diana. In recent years, Diana's been the more visible one. And you may remember last fall and early winter, she stood up a couple times to announce that Don had accepted a job in Florida and that they would soon be moving. Well, several times, Bill has asked, "How is Mr. Riley?" Not long ago, after just such a question, I asked why he kept asking about Don. His response was along the lines of, "Mr. Riley was one of my Sunday school teachers, and I could ask him anything, talk about anything, and he would talk with me without being judgmental." Well, it turns out that Don and Diana both were instructed when Bill was attending the early version of the sexuality class we still offer to our youth. While Mom and Dad were struggling to help the son, he was struggling with his identity and had found an adult who would listen to him. You may have already guessed where I'm going with this. Even though we suspected it for quite some time, it was still difficult, particularly for me, when in his late teens, Bill announced that he realized that he was gay. As one friend has said, it certainly isn't something that you would choose for your child if you had any control of the situation. We tried to be supportive as he started his new life. 20 years later, we continue to offer our support because his life experiences have no equal in the life of a straight male. Often the supporters need support. Just as we continue to support him, we get support here. Outside of church, we have friends, co-workers, and even family who at a minimum don't understand and don't want to understand. We hear gay jokes. We hear hateful commentary from these people. We hear and read hateful things in the media. Now, both Carol and I have friends here at the church we can talk with, but equally important, here there are no gay jokes. Here there's no cruel commentary. In addition, this church has created a welcoming place where both gays and lesbians have come, joined, and become important members of our church family. Beyond that, I'm also very confident that our young people are being given the same opportunity to explore their own sexuality as our son received. Let me go back to Don for a minute. Bill added that Don actually became a role model for him. We know that at various times Bill has spoken to groups of teens to tell them what it is like being gay. We also know that he has met with several young men who have literally been disowned by their families when they announce their sexual orientation. Let me change the subject before I get modeling here. There are a few things that I do as church treasurer, such as providing reports on church finances and working with the budget that can be time-consuming. Carol has asked several times, "Why do you do this? Why don't you do something that you really want to do?" My response most of the time has been that I am doing something I want to do. I used to dismiss her comments, but at some point I realized that I really do get some satisfaction out of the job as church treasurer. Let me create a scenario for you that many of you will recognize. This is not the case with my current real job, but it pretty well describes other jobs I've had. You work to get an education or training in a certain field. You even get some experience in that field. But eventually you find yourself working for someone who doesn't want to hear your ideas or opinions, won't try anything new, doesn't seem to appreciate the work you do, and so seldom uses what you produce that you wonder why the company has a position like yours in the first place. If you recognize at least part of this, you'll understand the tremendous satisfaction I get here when my work is appreciated. Like the day when I had thanked one of our really hard workers for something she had done for the church, and she responded with, my thank you meant a lot to her because she considers me an important part of her church. Boy, was I touched that day. I also appreciate when people for whom I have a great deal of respect ask for my advice and then my opinions and ideas are listened to. This then is my compliment to you, my church family, and an explanation